He was always the guest. This is one of my favorite invitations to the communion table. This is how it begins. He was always the guest. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pleaded the cause of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, he was always the guest. And then the communion liturgy, it concludes, "So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, and for a fairer world, come. Jesus Christ, who sat at our tables, invites us to be guests at his." This invitation to the table, it was published by the Iona Community, which is an ecumenical Christian community of women and men who seek to live out the gospel in ways that are radical, inclusive, and relevant to the 21st century. And this particular invitation to the table uses language that I find both comforting and challenging. It's comforting because, as the one who often celebrates communion, it helps me visualize Jesus among us, inviting us to a table that is not ours, but is in fact his, inviting us into a sacred space in the midst of our broken world, inviting us into relationship. And I'm also challenged by this language because it breaks down the binary of host or guest. Jesus lived as both a guest throughout his ministry and also as the host of this life-giving meal. And this is challenging because if I'm truly honest, hosting and maintaining control sounds easier than receiving hospitality. This is particularly true as a white, economically secure American accustomed to authority and security. Perhaps you might relate. Yet Jesus challenges me to consider the central role that hospitality, both giving and receiving it, plays in discipleship. And our text for this morning challenges us further in this way. Continuing in the Gospel of Mark, I want to invite you to turn with me to the beginning of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark and listen for God's word as Jesus returns back to his home in Nazareth and then sends his 12 disciples out into the world. Let us pray. Loving and holy God, startle us with your love. Reveal your wisdom, your will, your hope for your creation through your word. May we understand, may we believe, may we be drawn ever closer to you and to one another in love. Amen. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet off as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed all that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as I mentioned before, we are continuing to walk with Jesus through the Gospel of Mark. And for the last several, the last several weeks, we have journeyed slowly through the first five chapters of Mark. And we've borne witness to great miracles at the hand of Jesus. We've seen him heal the sick and challenge conceptions about the Sabbath. We've seen a woman reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' cloak to receive healing from a 12-year-long affliction. We watched Jairus' daughter awake from a slumber so deep that those with her believed that she was dead. Jesus has called the 12 disciples. He has cast out unclean spirits. He has rebuked the wind and calmed the seas so that the boat did not swamp and the disciples did not perish. The works of Jesus to this point have drawn in curious crowds, people seeking healing, people seeking relief and salvation and hope. But the crowds around Jesus will not always be like these crowds. And our text today is the turning point in the Gospel of Mark. Our text this morning can be broken up into two parts. First, the story of Jesus returning back home to Nazareth. And second, the story of Jesus sending out the disciples. And I suspect the juxtaposition of the two stories is no mistake on the part of the Gospel's author. So let's take a closer look at it to better understand the pivot that the author of Mark is making here in the sixth chapter. First, Jesus goes home. He leaves the place where he taught the parables, the place where he healed the hemorrhaging woman and commanded Jairus' daughter to get up from a state of death. He leaves that place and he heads back to Nazareth, his hometown, kind of like a seminary student going back home to preach at her home congregation for the first time since leaving for school. Jesus goes to the synagogue and begins to teach, and here in his hometown, they are significantly less enamored with his teachings and his deeds of power. After all, they remember him as a child, as a teenager, perhaps. They know Jesus' family. The gathered congregation in the Nazarene synagogue sees Jesus as a carpenter, not as a high priest. It's hard for them to see him as a healer, as one with life-saving and healing power. And in that place, maybe because only a few come to Jesus for help, only a few are healed and cured of their diseases. In this place, where little hospitality is shown to Jesus, little of God's power is experienced. So Jesus and his disciples, they venture out to the visit neighboring villages. And this time, instead of traveling as a group, Jesus sends the disciples out in pairs to spread the good news of God. "Take nothing for the journey," he says, "except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money. Wear sandals, only one tunic. Go and rely on the hospitality of others. Don't stay at an inn or an Airbnb. Stay with someone who will invite you in. If someone invites you in and doesn't respect you, doesn't engage with you, doesn't listen or share with you, well, then keep moving." With these instructions, the disciples go out to proclaim the message that all should orient themselves towards a life of love, towards a life enriched by grace. And as the disciples do, darkness is cast out, many are healed and cured, and God's redeeming presence on earth is made known. This morning's text highlights for us the contrasting experiences of Jesus's rejection in his hometown, where he was disrespected, distrusted, and unheard, with the multitude of other experiences Jesus had with the welcoming crowds that surrounded Jesus along the shorelines when he taught and healed and saved. And in this pivotal moment in the Gospel of Mark, out of this rejection in Nazareth, we witness the connection between hospitality and God's redemptive and transformative presence at work in the world. From here on out, a course is set for the expansion of Jesus' ministry in the world, wherein hospitality and discipleship are inextricably intertwined. One's experience of hospitality directly impacts the experience of God's power for individuals and for the whole community. And from here on out, hospitality, both receiving and offering it, will be a hallmark of discipleship. And it will be evidence of the Spirit in our midst. Up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has not been the host. He has been a guest. He has walked along, visited communities near and far, and throughout his journey, Jesus has been vulnerable to the care of others, bringing with him only his sandals, his walking stick, one tunic, and the company of friends. Jesus has been dependent upon those he encountered. He has been at the mercy of those who sought to listen to him, those who sought healing from him. And through the experience of being vulnerable to others, God's healing power among God's people multiplied and flourished and has been made known throughout the world. And our text this morning highlights that our human experiences as host and guest are two sides of the same coin. Because for us, the true host is Jesus. And we are all guests here in this place, in this life. At this table, we pass the meal that Jesus has set for us, sharing liberally to ensure that all are fed. This good news, this nourishment for the journey, this healing bread and cup, this sign of hospitality that Christ shows us informs our relationships here in this church. It informs our relationships in our communities, and it informs our relationships as we go out into the world. And Jesus invites us to participate in this work too. This is what Jesus sends us out in the world to experience, even today. As disciples of Jesus, we are sent out into the world to spread the news that violence and darkness and oppression do not have the final word. But all is worthy of redemption. Jesus sends us out into the world with only one pair of sandals, one tunic, and a companion for the journey, calling us to be open to those we encounter, encouraging us to spend time with those who offer us time and space, imploring us to listen and to learn, to love liberally. And if we encounter someone who would rather exert power than exercise relationship, well, then we keep moving. It's okay. We keep moving. There are many more in need of the good news that we bring, for we bring good news. Church, whether we are the ones opening our hearts to guests, or whether we are the guest, we do so with vulnerability and recognition that all of this is God's. All of this life is God's. As a disciple sent out into the world, I am happy to share what I have, to tell of God's great news. And I receive with gladness what you have to share, because through this experience of hospitality, we together might bear witness to the healing presence of God at work among us. As we sit at Christ's table, may we discover healing. May we discover wholeness. As we sit at the meal tables of others, may we learn more of who God is in the world. May we learn more of God's love in the world. May we learn more of God's miraculous power at work in the world. As we share in mutual relationship, may we draw ever closer to justice rolling down like waters and peace flowing like rivers. Amen.